Welcome to the Conference for Women teleclass, How to Finally Squash Your Inner Critic. Our guest today is Dr. Jacqueline Soumé. She's an award-winning psychologist, a career counselor, speaker, and author. In her psychotherapy practice, Dr. Soumé began to notice a pattern with her patients being too hard on themselves. Her work has shown that self-critical behavior can wreak havoc with your life. It can keep you from getting the love you want, the raise you deserve, or even a good night's sleep. Her latest book, The Bitch in Your Head, How to Finally Squash Your Inner Critic, examines this common behavior among women. In today's teleclass, we're going to identify the different types of criticisms women inflict on themselves, whether work, marriage, parenting, or appearance, and we'll provide effective tools and techniques to combat these forms of self-destruction. A reminder, we'll be sharing highlights from today's call on Twitter. You can follow along and join the conversation at 10 Women, at Texas Women, at Mass Women, and in California at #LeadOnCA. And a reminder, today's class will be available as a podcast on your conference website. If you register through Eventbrite, you will receive an email telling you when the podcast is available. And now let's welcome Dr. Jacqueline Soumé.
I'm happy to be here with you and tell you about the bitch in your head and how you can finally squash your inner critic. Because we all know that life is full of joy, but it's also full of problems. And no matter how perfect a life may look from the outside, there's usually something going wrong. And it can go wrong early in life, in childhood, and it can last through old age. And it can be in any area of life: dating, marriage, raising kids, work, social life, or sleeping through the night. It's a good bet that any problem in any area of your life is exacerbated, if not caused, by self-criticism and negative thinking, which is what I call the bitch in your head. Most women and many men live with a litany of self-criticism. They say awful things, destructive things to themselves every day, things like, you look fat. How could you be so stupid? You really blew it. Don't even try. It will never work. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say. Some people hear the bitch in their head and they think it's motivating. They think it encourages them to work harder or smarter. Other people think it protects them from being disappointed or arrogant. But most people are so used to the barrage of self-criticism that they are hardly aware of it. It's just background noise wearing away their self-esteem and limiting their potential. Every psychologist works with self-critical patients, people who think it's impossible to find the love, admiration, or self-acceptance that every human deserves. The problem is that traditional psychotherapy simply isn't very effective when it comes to self-criticism. And one day in my office, at the end of a week where it seemed like almost everybody I'd seen all week was drowning in self-criticism, I began a session with a lawyer. Now, she was one of the few lawyers I've worked with who really liked being a lawyer, but she had numerous ways of putting herself down. And this day, she started berating herself, saying, I'm so stupid. I should have gotten an MBA. I wouldn't be making so much more money. I'd be on Wall Street. I'm making so much more money than I am now being a lawyer. So I began with, you know, kind of a traditional psychotherapeutic response of, didn't you tell me that you liked being a lawyer? And, of course, she dismissed this and started rattling on more self-criticism, and I was kind of desperate to come up with something to break through to her, to make her realize how destructive she was being to herself, because I'm the kind of psychologist, I don't want to just listen to problems, I want to actually help patients solve them. So I took a chance, I looked her in the eye, and I said, boy, are you a bitch. She looked like I'd struck her. I waited a beat and added, to yourself. It worked. thank goodness it worked. She could have probably brought me up in front of the ethics committee because we're not allowed to curse at our patients. Anyway, but by labeling and personifying the negative voice in her head as the bitch, she could finally hear how self-destructive she was being. And we had one of our most productive sessions after that. My next patient was a woman whose husband had left her, and she felt too insecure to begin dating again until she saved up money for breast implants. That day, she told me she'd turned down a date with a cute guy that she liked at her gym. So I figured, geez, you know, I'm going to use the bitch line again. And I followed it with, would you ever tell your daughter not to begin dating until she was a D cup? Again, by labeling and the self-defeating thoughts as the bitch, I was able to break through her resistance, and she was able to hear how mean she was being to herself. The good news is I didn't become a one-trick pony calling everybody a bitch, but I did notice that over the next year, almost every patient, male or female, in one way or another, was being bitchy to themselves. But when I began to think about writing a book on the subject, the bitch in my head said the concept was no big deal and I would be wasting my time. Despite this, I began asking my colleagues how self-criticism affects their patients. A psychologist who specializes in weight loss said that, ironically, people with negative thoughts about their body have more difficulty losing weight than people who are more self-accepting. And that didn't make any sense to me until she explained that it's depressing to look in the mirror and say, ugh, my hips are disgusting. That's just depressing. It makes you feel bad, and that makes you crave comfort food. Another colleague friend of mine who works with heart patients said that they often blame themselves for their illness. And the people who are mad at themselves and blame themselves for their illness do self-destructive things like not taking their medication or continuing to smoke. Negative thoughts impair marriage counseling. A key to marriage counseling is having both parties negotiate their problems. But the bitch in some people's heads say, oh, you'd be weak if you negotiated. That would just let your spouse get away with bad behavior. We all know that shopaholics will never feel the hole in their self-esteem with all the stuff they buy. And child psychologists, as well as every patient, knows that children deal with a myriad of self-defeating, self-critical thoughts. I've seen how negative thinking affects careers. Since graduate school, when I was trained in both psychotherapy and vocational counseling, I've asked career counseling patients this question. If I had a magic wand and I could make anything possible, if you didn't have to worry if people would think you were crazy, and you didn't have to worry whether you had the skills or the training or the money to pull it off, what would you do if anything was possible? When I started asking this question, I was sure that I would hear impossible dreams. I was sure that 50-year-old women would want to be prima ballerinas, that junior accountants would want to sail around the Mediterranean on yachts like billionaires. But the kind of sad thing is that in all the years I've been in practice, I can only remember a handful of people who told me really impossible things. Most people think what their crazy aspirations are really, we can actually make them come true if they stop thinking about how impossible they are and we start making plans about how to actually make those dreams come true, the step-by-step approach of how you would actually do this. Now is probably about the time to tell you that bitch is a word I really hate. I never use it in my personal life. It's ugly and it's sexist. And it actually took me a long time to say the title of my book in public without getting uncomfortable. But when I got myself to say the bitch in your head and started telling people outside my office the title of my book, many men gave me a blank stare. They just didn't get it. But every woman, even the most successful beautiful and apparently secure women nodded their heads, understanding exactly what I was talking about. I was chatting with the mayor of a small town, and when she asked me what I did, I said, "I'm working on a book called The Bitch in Your Head, How to Finally Squash Your Inner Critic." Her eyes opened wide, and I assumed I'd offended her with the word bitch until she said, "I can't even get out of bed every morning before it starts. The minute I open my eyes, I begin thinking of all the mistakes I made the day before." A woman with a long, successful career told me, "Every time I get a consulting job, I say to myself, can you really do this? Who do you think you are?" And after I told an executive friend of mine about the bitch, she emailed me to say, "I realize I can spend hours dwelling on something I said or I did, even if it didn't matter all that much." The bitch clearly struck a note with women. And even better, the next time I spoke to them, they said that recognizing the bitch and laughing at her, quote unquote, diminished her power. But as I say, men often just didn't get it. And what I found is that it isn't that men aren't self-critical. It's just that they seem to spend far less time on self-doubt. And their self-doubts are much more contained to a smaller area. They seem to worry more about and criticize themselves more about issues of his is bigger than mine, whether it's body parts or income or prestige. Whereas we women can criticize ourselves about everything, every area of our life. And we spend so much more time doing it. My totally unscientific estimate is that the amount of time women spend criticizing themselves and thinking about self-criticism is probably equal to the amount of time men spend thinking about sex. When I was in graduate school, I read studies that show how women blame themselves when they make mistakes, while men often blame the situation or someone else. And recent bestsellers about women in business report that this problem is still widespread. And there are other really fascinating gender differences. For example, when people look in mirrors, let's imagine a beautiful woman looking in a mirror. She's probably going to zone in on what she doesn't like. "Oh, I'm getting crow's feet. Oh, my hips are getting so big." Now let's imagine a man with a big beer belly looking in the mirror. He's probably going to zone in on what he likes. "Ooh, my blue eyes still sparkle. I can still flex an arm muscle." So men walk away feeling pretty good about themselves, and women walk away feeling pretty bad. And speaking of gender differences, how many men do you know who berate themselves for being a terrible parent or feel very guilty about spending so much time at the office or the golf course away from the kids? Whether you are male or female, though, it's possible for the bitch to affect every area of your life and every era of your life. It can start in childhood and last through old age. Almost everyone goes through what psychologists call the catastrophes of childhood that can leave scars and phobia. And if you had a learning disability, even if it affected only one area of learning, it can leave you feeling permanently stupid. When I was a little girl, I got good grades, but I had a secret. I didn't know my left from my right, and I still don't. So when other people said I was smart, my little bitch said, "Yeah, but how smart can you be if you don't know your left from your right?" And it wasn't until I got to graduate school and I found out that I could be smart and have a learning disability. But even the smartest kids, especially girls, without learning disabilities can suffer. Caltech reports that their smartest women students often feel they're imposters, faking people into thinking they're bright and not deserving admission. The bitch can affect every area of life, from our feelings about dating and marriage and parenting through to our social and work lives. Our inner bitches can keep us from getting the love we want or the raise we deserve. They can keep us from being in good health. Physicians have told me they're very frustrated by the large number of patients whose bitches tell them to either ignore a symptom or catastrophize it. And of course, it can keep us from getting a good night's sleep. How many times have you woken up in the middle of the night and spent hours tossing and turning and telling yourself, the bitch will never, ever let you get to sleep, predicting that you'll be exhausted the next day, you won't be able to work. You know, I used to tell myself or worry that I'd fall asleep with my patients. Well, you may remember that Sigmund Freud famously asked, what do women want? I think what they want is to get rid of the bitch in their head. And I have chapters in the book about dating, marriage, parenting, socializing, working, health, athletics, insomnia, tools and techniques to handle every one of those issues. So I'm very happy to answer questions about any of those topics. But I'll leave you with a few generic things to do to calm and quiet the bitch in your head. The first thing is to never say anything to yourself that you wouldn't say to a dear friend or your child. Why? Because you'd know it would be depressing or discouraging. So why should you say something to yourself that you would never say to someone you love? The second thing is to really understand the difference between constructive criticism and destructive criticism. When you have a problem or an issue or a worry, use constructive criticism, which defines the problem and helps you come up with steps to overcome the problem, as opposed to destructive criticism, which is the bitch in your head, which is just insulting and mean and depressing. And the third thing is, it's kind of fun to go on what I call a bitch hunt with a friend. If you read the book together, you can hear what your friend says that's destructive or too critical better than she can, and she can probably hear what you're saying that's mean and destructive and bitchy better than you can. So I'm happy now to stop talking and to answer any questions that you have.
Great. Well, thank you. And we have quite a few questions for Dr. Jacqueline Soumé. I'm going to start with the first one, which is the provocative word in your book title, as you pointed out, is a trigger, not only for you but for many women. Why did you decide that that word would lead to a breakthrough when maybe a more clinical term would not?
That's a good question, and a lot of people have asked me that. And it's because I honestly have spent years trying to come up with a better word, especially when I worked with men. But I've never been able to come up with a word that has the same punch and the same instant recognition. Bitch is just a word. It connotes meanness, nastiness, something that we don't want around us, we don't want to do to ourselves. We wouldn't want a person we called a bitch in our lives. So it's instantly recognizable that we don't want that in our heads. I've never been able to come up with another word, although I'd be very happy to.
And why is self-criticism, this self-criticism that you discovered in your practice and in your own life, and that so many women can relate to, why is it so very common among women?
Well, there's several reasons for that. First of all, in childhood, girls are still expected to be more polite and nice than boys and to worry about offending people. The second thing is that there's what I call the beauty industrial complex, that the pharmaceutical, fashion, media industries that would fall apart if women decided that they were just fine as they are. And men are not subject to that kind of pressure about being beautiful, about being pleasing, thin. It's becoming slightly more equal opportunity, but not completely. But there's also, bear with me for a minute when I explain something that I've been thinking a lot about, and I've not heard other people talking about this. Psychologists used to think that there was a fight or flight response to danger for everybody. And about 10 years ago, some research came out that said, no, that's just for men. Men have a fight or flight response. So from the time of the saber-toothed tiger, they had to be distant from other people, distant enough from their families and their friends to go out and risk their lives and die or run away when there was danger like the saber-toothed tiger. But women, the new research found, women have what's called a tend and befriend response to danger. We tend to the children, we gather our friends because there's safety in numbers. So if we think there's safety in numbers, we have to be more worried about offending people on a very basic instinctual level. So we are more self-critical when we think we're going to offend others. And I think that's another reason that there's the bitch in your head in women more than men.
Interesting. Yeah, you said earlier that traditional psychotherapy is not effective or not that effective for self-criticism.
Yes.
Why is that?
Because so many people think self-criticism is deserved or healthy. They just don't get how negative and destructive it is. They think it's motivating. They just don't understand it. But when you label it the bitch, there's no way around thinking that's good.
Okay. Well, is there an effective way to identify when being self-critical is actually beneficial and can lead to, or possibly lead to, personal and professional growth?
Positive, constructive criticism that identifies a problem, that's fine, so that you can create solutions to the problem. But just insulting yourself, negative criticism, is only destructive. It's interesting. There's been some really good research on careers and who makes it to the top and whose career gets derailed. And they found that, the research has found that there's no such thing as a golden person who just rises to the top, that the big surprise was that people who got derailed and people who made it to the top had equal numbers of failures, setbacks, bad bosses, interpersonal problems. It's the way they handled the problem. The people who got derailed were defensive and negative and self-critical and blaming themselves and blaming others, as opposed to the people who made it to the top, who acknowledged the problem and found ways of correcting the problem. So that's really the difference between constructive criticism and negative criticism in a very practical workplace.
Okay. Now, are people who are highly critical of others critical of themselves, or have they figured out a way to target the inner bitch, you know, to the outside world?
That's a great question. No. People who are highly self-critical usually are very critical of others, and they think that everybody acts that way. They think that everybody, you know, sees, if they meet somebody, they're always thinking, you know, are they prettier than I am, or are they better than I am, or they have more money than I do, you know, and really a lot of people just don't think that way. I mean, I know I really don't want critical people in my life. I don't let critical people in my life. I want to be happy for other people's success, and I want them to be happy for mine.
I was wondering, we got several questions along these lines, which is if you could go over once again techniques for taming or silencing the bitch in your head.
Right, other than those generic ones I told you. Each chapter has tools and techniques for the bitch in every aspect of life, and I'll give you an example. With phobias, it used to be that the chief, most prevalent phobias were fear of death and fear of public speaking, and those are still very strong, but there's a new one that's heading a lot of lists, and that is the fear of going to a party alone. I mean, it's kind of funny that people would literally rather die than go to a party alone. But, you know, they fear that they'll walk in, they won't know anybody, they'll stand around looking stupid, you know, people will look at them and say, oh, what a wallflower. So the technique for that one is you walk in and you look at the room and you find someone who's standing alone, or you notice a couple who's standing there looking very awkward with each other, and you go over and introduce yourself, and they'll be so happy that you've saved them from social oblivion that you will have a good time chatting with them. So instead of worrying about how stupid you're going to look, you go over and help somebody who's clearly feeling that way themselves.
Good tip. To get back to the beginning of this phenomenon of self-criticism that's so common, how does external criticism play a role in the birth of the bitch in your head? Does it always stem from childhood, or is this something that can develop in adulthood as well?
It can certainly develop in adulthood, and I think each stage of life can bring it on. It certainly can result from a critical parent, a critical teacher. I know I got a fear of public speaking that took me years to get over when I was up on the stage trying out for a part, feeling really great, and the teacher said, Jackie, don't you know that tall, skinny girls are never ingenues? And everybody started laughing, and all of a sudden, you know, I just got this terrible shame and fear of public speaking, which thank goodness I've gotten over. But again, it can start from something like that. It can start from the media that makes teenage girls feel that they're big and fat and they need to be anorexic. Then when you get to be a parent, I've noticed that a lot of very self-confident women, their careers start getting rocky because they feel so bad about leaving their kids at home. They feel so conflicted about it. The internet is vicious to mothers. You know, these vicious articles and arguments about, you know, whether or not you should breastfeed, whether or not you should let your child sleep in your bed. I mean, they're not constructive arguments. They're vicious about people who disagree with them, and making women feel so guilty. I mean, you don't see websites for men making fathers feel horrendously guilty about these things. Then, of course, there's old age. I mean, or even middle age. You know, you get to be 40 and you start saying to yourself, "Oh, you know, you're old and over the hill." And you know, I think old age is one of the most difficult stages because there's so many losses, and you start saying there's nothing left for you, as opposed to creating a bucket list of things that you want to do in your life. So I think it can come at any stage in any area.
Great. We have time for one last question, and that is this notion of becoming your own cheerleader, which you write about. How does that improve your relationships?
How does that include your relationship?
How does that improve your relationship?
Ah. I think that everybody likes to be with someone who is happy and self-confident. Self-confidence is not feeling superior to other people. It's in, you know, when you're really self-confident, you enjoy the success of other people. You give them compliments. That makes you people love you if you see the good in them and recognize the good in them. So it's a self it's a lovely circle, not a vicious circle, but a self-improving circle. When the more you like yourself, the more you can like other people and appreciate what they're doing as you appreciate yourself.
Great. Well, that's all we have time for today. The book is The Bitch in Your Head, How to Finally Squash Your Inner Critic by Dr. Jacqueline Plume.
And I'm so happy to tell you that it's available at any Barnes & Noble bookstore, on Amazon, and I'd love to hear from people how they squash the bitch in their head.
Great. Thank you to Dr. Jacqueline Plume, and thank you to our audience for listening to today's teleclass.